In my final message to all of you, I would like to draw your attention to two of Krishna's qualities. His first quality is gratefulness, and the other quality is that he is Bhaktavatsala, or the friend of his devotees. With gratefulness, Krishna's gratefulness, Rupa Goswami means or understands Krishna's gratefulness to be that he is mindful of each service which was once rendered to him. Krishna does not forget, and even the most insignificant service. And Bhaktavatsala, or the quality is Bhaktavatsalatva, means that he is a sincere friend, well-wishing friend of his devotees. This means that bhakti is not a one-way street. That means that only love comes from the devotee to Krishna. No, bhakti is a perfect two-way road where there is a tremendous amount of response from Krishna. Krishna really sees every little service which is rendered to him, and he does not forget. Prabhupada once gave the example for Prabhupada's gratefulness, which I found very striking. He spoke of a devotee who offers a flower to Krishna, and in that flower there is a little ant. I think this example is very relevant in India. So when the flower with the ant gets placed before Lord Krishna, the ant might touch the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna is so grateful to this little ant for coming in contact with him and being somewhere, somewhat connected with devotional service, that he accepts the touch of the ant as the kiss of the ant of his lotus feet. That is, Prabhupada spoke about this ant. So, Krishna, this is an illustration how Krishna is really grateful for even any little contact with devotional service. In fact, Bhaktavatsala means that he really loves his devotees. He cares for his devotees. He is not remote watching. But no, he just loves his devotees. Devotees are in my heart, and I'm in the heart of the devotees. That's his statement. Now, usually Krishna's response to the devotees is in accordance with the devotees' attempt to please him. He says this in the Bhagavad Gita: "Ye yathamang prapadyante tangstathaiva bhajamyaham." That according to what we do for Lord Krishna, how much sincere determination we apply to our devotional service, Krishna responds. This is for Krishna a very, very, very important principle. I think you all know that this principle was severely challenged by the devotional service of the gopis, who rendered to Krishna spotless service, that is, service free from any tinge of selfishness. In the midst of the night, they had left their families, which was tantamount of dying in the Indian social system, to search for their dear Lord, and Krishna had retreated into the forest. The gopis searched for Lord Krishna and came gradually to the very dark areas of the forests, where no light could be seen from the moon because the foliage of the tree shielded the moonlight. And they gave up the search and went to the Yamuna, to the bright moonlit beach of the Yamuna, where they engaged in chanting Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they chanted and chanted and chanted. Finally, when they had given almost all the hope, had given up all the hope, Krishna came into their presence with a quick, elegant jump from the darkness of Vrindavan. He looked as enchanting as the very enchanting he looked at that time. Very, very, very mind enchanting. He was holding his chatter in one hand so that he could really touch the heart. And he expressed to the gopis some very deep secrets of his love towards his devotees. He told the gopis that he had hidden from them to draw out more love and more love from their hearts. That this was the purpose or the secret purport of his not being immediately present. Still, and he said, "You have served me so much, I have seen this, and I'm not able to repay my debt for your spotless service. Even if I should try for a whole lifetime of Brahma to repay you." And he said that actually your connection with me is beyond all criticism, beyond all reproach. Krishna felt really unable to uphold his principle of gratefully repaying his devotees in the world, and that gave him some headache. He basically explained that, "My dear gopis, your love is ekanta bhakti. It is totally fixed on me alone. There's no one else. And this is real love. When it's love becomes exclusive, then it's really, really intense. But my love cannot be ekanti. I have to take care of so many devotees. In this way, my love is really many-branched. I'm Bahu Shaka." You know this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna describes his devotees. Vyayasa yatmika buddhiya ekeha kuru nandana. He says, the love of that my devotees are ekeha. Their intelligence is fixed. And then he says, the undetermined people, they have not a fixed, exclusive intelligence, but they are in their intelligence many-branched. So Krishna thought of his love also as not being focused, really. he thought, I'm so many-branched in my love, and you gopis have somehow been able to focus all your love on me. It is exclusive love, nothing else. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes that prema, or love, really means it cannot be fixed on any other object than Krishna. If the moment love or prema is love is fixed to another object than Krishna, sight object, then it is no longer prema, it is something else. So that's why Krishna is obliged to so many devotees to yeyatamang prapadyante, and he therefore bows down to the gopis in humble defeat and says, "I you have destroyed my statement. I'm not not able to do this. Now, Sanatan, to respond to your love. Now, Sanatan Goswami describes that in Krishna's mind there was something that in the future a devotee might repay the love to the gopis. This is a very, very wonderful point. I will not go very long because we are expecting to do our puja. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, Lord Krishna has a promise from before to reciprocate with his devotees according to the way they worship him. And Sanatan Goswami says, that promise has been broken by the worship of the gopis, as Lord Krishna himself admits, Naparayeham, I can't do this. Now Krishna has a solution to this. Lord Krishna conceived of the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he would come in the role of a devotee, and where he would give all his love in the mood of the gopis, following the footsteps of the gopis to him. And again, I will give pleasure to Madhavananda's heart by quoting from Krishna Katamrita, Katamrita, the magazine. There is one disciple of Janava Mata. You do know Janava Mata is the wife of Lord Nityananda, the Shakti of Lord Nityananda. This disciple, Srila Nityananda Das, has said, Lord Chaitanya's, he has spoken about Lord Chaitanya's Ekantika Prema for Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Feeling separation from me, Radha and the gopis have, Krishna thinks, huh? Feeling separation from me, Radha and the gopis have given up their lives in separation. Have given up their lives. Now I shall also give up my life for her. You will see me in that condition, O Lokanath. Adopting Radha's complexion and the saffron-colored cloth of separation. This is new information, my dear Vairagi Bhais. This is the... we are dyed in the color of separation, we brahmacharis and sannyasis. It's a good color. I'll become her maid servant and get happiness. Wearing by the wonderful qualities of her love, she has put me in her debt. Singing Radha's glories, I will flood the universe with her fame. This is Krishna's Radha Kirtan, huh? Then she will give me her mercy, getting her prema. I will cry and dance in Sankirtan with dust all over my body. Saying this, Gaura Rai began to cry, chanting, Radha! This was nothing. Radha! Vrindavan! And then he rolled on the ground.
So I feel better already.
Yes, this is. So you might say, okay, Sachidananda Swami, it's clear on the last day of the retreat you want to give us hope that Krishna really cares about paying his debt to his devotees and following his own promises, that he will respond to his devotees in gratitude and with a friendly attitude, but I do not feel Krishna's response. I am now 10 years in the movement. I'm dry like a stick. Yes, I'm sitting at Giri Raja's lotus feet, but now I have all pious ideas in my mind, but wait until I'm in the West. I will surely meet the one-eyed guru, the television. I will surely eat this and that with a quick offering. But it cannot be called selfless service. I will become overwhelmed by Maya, as I was last year, most properly. Krishna has not appeared to me, and in Krishna's absence, I don't feel the pulse of Krishna consciousness. Yes, Bhurijam Prabhu is enthusiastic, and Jagatarini Mataji, but they have gone through a lot, and now they are old. I stand no chance, and I don't get Krishna's response. My dear devotees, who do not know Krishna's real intentions, there is a reason why Krishna apparently keeps himself in a distance. See, just like when Lord Krishna disappeared from the gopis who had given up everything, there was a reason behind it. There's a beautiful painting which illustrates that Krishna, when the gopis were looking for him, even when they went to the darkest areas of the Vrindavan forest where there was no moonshine, Krishna was following them behind the trees, looking with tears in his eyes, how much devotion these devotees had for him. He was really moved. Later he explained that I have kept myself in the distance to increase your hankering for me. The same reason is there when Krishna keeps himself a little bit hidden from his devotees here we can't say in this world because it's already in the transcendental world. Let us say in the West or and so on, not in the Holy Dharma. There's a very distinct reason which has been revealed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And I remember once, Bhurijam Prabhu, you sent this excerpt to me on the computer and I felt great solace in my heart. It was Bhurijam Prabhu often sends these nectar jewels, and he says, here's a gift for you from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Please listen to this gift. I believe it will give you, first of all, an understanding why Krishna keeps himself sometimes in a distance, and you will also feel hopeful that he is not really in the distance. He's watching. Here is it. For those surrendered souls who worship me, Krishna, through Naam, Kirtan and other means, I do not respond in order to make their worship more perfect. O gopis, who cannot understand my real intention. Now he says, what happens to the devotees who don't see Krishna or feel Krishna? Not seeing me, those surrendered souls develop deep humility, feeling, alas, alas, everything I've done has been useless. Because I'm an offender, Krishna has not shown even the slightest favor towards me. Let me be damned. The devotee enters, in other words, the kingdom of humility. He becomes naked. He takes out the dress of pretension. He puts the garment of lies down. He puts the existential lie that I am great into the wardrobe, and now he is dressed only in humility, in the dress of reality, because we always have a humble position before the Lord. So, when the devotee thinks like this, something happens in his spiritual psychology. By constantly thinking in this way, those who have not yet developed mature love for me will become free from lust and anger and awaken pure devotion full of power and brilliance. In other words, when you are, when you really feel that, oh, Krishna has not shown himself to me or has not given the taste of the execution of devotional service to me, you should feel humble. Oh, it must be because of my innumerable mistakes. I'm not as great as I thought. And if you think like this, then a fire will develop in your mind, which will burn away these tinges of lust and anger which give always rise to aparadas, and you will awaken pure devotion full of brilliance and power. So this is Krishna's treatment. And I would like to just say something very personal. See, if you get to know me a little bit more closer, you will see there is a very creative, colorful mind sitting before you, who is running here and there and everywhere. And I had seen in my devotional life, and I still see it, that sometimes Krishna brings me to this reason where really things go wrong, one is misunderstood and accused of something, one is foreign to one's thinking, and one is in anxiety and all of this. But I've always noted that Krishna does, and you think, where is Krishna in all this? But I've always seen when Krishna seems to be so far away, and I acknowledge that, oh, I'm not as great as I thought. Then the next morning, or the morning after the next morning, there are wonderful spiritual realizations happening. I can safely say that this is not just some shastric thing which is interesting for the intellectual people amongst us. No, no, it is something very existential. Krishna disappears to appear. Krishna disappears in order to appear to his devotee. This is the way our Lord deals. Krishna's mind is very difficult to understand, it says, but this is one of his many secrets. So this is hope for the hopeless. I would like to now end with something. If you think that the Govardhan retreat has come to an end, you are mistaken. This is not our last day. This was a trap which was carefully prepared for you by Braj Bihari and the organizers. This is not the last day.
You weren't supposed to tell.
Now comes Govardhan Retreat Part 2. Some of you think, oh no, I really got to talk enough with austerity. What is this? Please explain yourself. Do I have to cancel my ticket? my dear devotees, listen very carefully what Govardhan Retreat Part 2 is. It's the application of what you have learned in during this time. This Govardhan Retreat Part 2 can become the most exciting time, even more exciting than what you have experienced here. When you go in Govardhan Retreat Part 2, you can actually face your obstacles and overcome them. If you do Govardhan Retreat Part 2, you will actually become a pure devotee, equipped with bhakti full of power and brilliance. Govardhan Retreat Part 2 is really the fruit of Govardhan Retreat Part 1. And I would like to give you an example of a devotee who had taken the Govardhan retreat part two, or who had made the most wonderful experiences in Krishna Bhakti by applying what he had heard. It's this Brahmana from Pratishtha, what was the name? Brahmana, who was very poor, without means, who had gone to an assembly of devotees and had heard that because Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardana, that is, the Lord who accepts the spirit of someone's service, that one can also offer him in a loving spirit, mentally, wonderful articles in worship. So the Brahmana thought, wonderful, I'm so poor, I cannot buy any nice boga for Krishna and perfumes and so on. So he sat every day down, did a few simple pranayamas, pratiloma aniloma. Then he went deeply into meditation, and he collected water for the worship of a deity whom he worshipped in a mental in a temple made by his thoughts, and he did many services for this deity, all in meditation, because he had heard in that assembly of saintly Vaishnavas that if you offer Krishna something in your mind, in your meditation, Krishna will accept this as factual devotional service. This was a new point for him. He had never conceived or considered this. He felt, so he said, let me apply it. Govardhan retreat part two. Let me apply it in my daily life. And he did this daily. And then one day, the miracle happened. He had cooked sweet rice in his mind, and in order to test if it was already cool enough to serve to his beloved deities, he had put his finger into the mentally prepared sweet rice, and he had burned himself very much. It was really a burn, first degree. There are 3 degrees, it was first degree. So at that time, the Lord smiled in Vaikuntha. And Lakshmi asked, why are you smiling, my Lord? I'm smiling because of my devotee. I will quickly bring him. The Lord went and brought his devotee into the eternal kingdom of Lord, accepting his devotional service. Now I don't want to say any longer my dear devotee, because I must find out something new now, where everyone oh, those intent of spiritual realization, please apply what you have heard in your life. Let the seminar not become another waste of money for you, where you hear something and then you go and the life continues as usual, as uneventful as ever. By the way, spiritual seminars are never a waste. Make everything out of the seminar by walking your realizations, by applying them in your lives. And do this purposefully. You might even do something. You might compose a little prayer which you will say every day, where you are reminding your Lord Krishna of and also yourself of what you want to apply in your life. In modern psychology, this is called affirmations, which have a tremendous motivational power. But we have this already since time immemorial in our tradition. You might pick out solid prayers from the acharyas, where the concepts are very nicely expressed, or in your own words, pray to Lord Krishna, so that there will be help to apply this and that what you have realized. Maybe some of you has realized to chant a little bit more, or to listen more, or have more sadhu sangha, or do more service. I think we all have heard what you have realized. Please, this is not some information on a paper, your realizations. You please apply this, in the Govardhan Retreat Part 2. Now I want to give a present at the end. Bhurijan Prabhu and Jagatarini Madhavi. I am personally very, very grateful to your for your association.
Oh, be the guy on the hill.
Bhurijan Prabhu, you have endeared yourself very much to me because of your readings from Chaitanya's Leelas. Throughout the years, you have served Mahaprabhu very much and brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into my life. And I very much remember how you would always read so nicely, "There is not even a sesame seed verse of a life without devotion." Or then you would write, "They did not have even a sesame seed full of doubt in them."
Yeah.
And so many nice formulations. So I have decided to give a donation to your household, which is in the benefit also of your wonderful wife. It is a full glass of sesame seeds.
Very auspicious. On behalf of my household, I would like to thank His Holiness Abhinanda Maharaj for this wonderful gift. How many do you think there are?
There are as many as there are universes in our Brahmanda. It is very soothing in the winter time. It gives some heat and is calming to the mind. And it is very healthy to take in the winter time. Sesame seeds are to be taken in the winter time. And please take this beautiful carrying bag also. De de si radhe. De de si radhe. De de si radhe. Yeah.
Good gift. It's amazing.
Yeah.